إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، today we should be reading from باب ما جاء في خف الرسول أو في خف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The chapter about what is reported concerning the khuf of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. The khuf is the leather socks. And the bab that follows it is Babu ma ja'a fi na'li Rasulillah alayhi salatu wasalam. The chapter about what is reported concerning the Prophet's shoes alayhi salatu wasalam. But frankly, I'm not feeling any positively disposed that we should go ahead and read today. Alaykum as-salam. This is our first class since the circumstances forced us to stop our classes. Even without announcing it, we knew that we had to stop the class at the time. We did not announce, we did not start calling the people to say, oh, classes will stop before we stop the class. We all knew we had to stop the class because of the period in which we were at the time. The first problem we had was the days when we were completely prevented from coming out for about 3 days. And we were all there. Well, witnesses to it. For those 3 days, there were three difficult days for people, generally speaking. The difficulty came from the aspects of fear, one, khawf, and from the aspects of jur, hunger. These two things were real problems within those 3 days. And the value of the opposites of these two things became more apparent. The value of amn and ta'am, food, became very apparent. If you just looked around that first day when the coffee was reduced to between 12 and 5 p.m., you would see as if people were released from a dungeon. You could still see fear written on the faces of people. Fear, F-E-A-R. Or khawf, kha'un, wa'un, and fa'un. See it written on the faces of people. And then hunger. This will make us understand the importance of amnu, security, and that tranquility in this case. And what? Food. And that was why from the things with which Allah spoke to Quraysh, with which Allah berated Quraysh in the Quran, were these two things. In Surah Quraysh, Allah says what? لِإِلَافِ Quraysh. He says, إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. He says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Which Rabb? الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ Let you must worship the Lord of this house. It's intended the Kaaba. That worship must be given to the Lord of the Kaaba. And that was why at a point in time when some of the people started taking the Kaaba as an object of worship. You know, people used to do that. In fact, till today, some of the people when they go there, they start rubbing their bodies on the Kaaba. It's an innovation. On the Kaaba, only two places are encouraged to be touched. You do not touch any other place by way of worship, seeking Allah's pleasure, except two points. The Ruknal Yamani, the two Rukns of Yemen. The Ruknu Hajar al-Aswad, it has four sides. The side where you start the tawaf and the side before that side where the tawaf is started. So there are two Ruknul Yamani. Ruknul Yamani the first rukun of al-yamani, that is the one you meet first as you are coming. The second one is the rukun of Hajar al-Aswad, where you start your tawaf. So you touch the first one when you are coming, then you say Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar, as you come. And then if you have the opportunity, you touch the second one too. In fact, the two of them, if you have the opportunity. Sometimes you'll only be looking at the Kaaba from afar. You can't go near it because of people, crowd. So when people begin to take the Kaaba, rub on themselves. I remember the first time we went on Hajj some years back, a brother bought a golden plaque engravement of Kaaba. It was engraved in gold. The brother came from Holland. So I asked him, how are you going to carry this? He said, whatever it costs him to carry it, to take it to Holland, he will pay. So I said, what do you want to do with it? He said, he will go and put it in front of the place where he prays. So each time he's praying, he'll be praying to the Kaaba directly. I said, no, you are not praying to the Kaaba directly. So the Kaaba must not be taken as an object of worship. We are ordered to worship Rabba Hazal Bayt, the Lord of this house. We were not asked to say فَلْيَعْبُدُ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. La, it says رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. So which Lord? الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ, the Lord who provided food for them when they were hungry. So it's one big favor of Allah that food is provided for us. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, when he was explaining the rububi of Allah, Rububiyyah of Allah is Allah's lordship over us. From the aspects of Rububiyyah of Allah is that He created us and then He sustains us. He says it is Allah that feeds everybody, rich and poor. Rich and poor. He says it is Allah that feed, it'am, that feeds us, rich and poor. And He was explaining that, rahimahullah. He said, if we want to understand this, let's look at the rainfall, the food germination, planting food, cultivation of food. He said, when the rain falls, the plant grows and the food is provided. He said, nobody can do that except Allah. And that is from where both the rich and the poor eat. The rich and the poor eat yam, the rich and the poor eat rice, the rich and the poor eat bread, and all of these, eggs and all of these. All these things come from Allah. If you put a seed of maize on the soil and it does not grow, what will you do? Even when you add fertilizer, I'm sure this is not strange to us. You may add anything you want to add and it will not grow. So who makes it grow? Allah. Aha. So it is Allah that feeds us. Razaqakum min at-tayyibat. So Allah feeds us. He provides for us. He enriches us from nice things. And the fishes in the ocean, who provides them there? Even the fishes, when they reproduce in large numbers. Cool? In biology. Large numbers. So Allah feeds us. SubhanAllah. He feeds us. That verse says, أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ. You are hungry, He provides food for you. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. And then He granted them safety, security from fear. They were scared, they were afraid. He gives them security. Don't be afraid. So it means from two great favors of Allah is what? Provision of food and safety, security. Not too long ago, somebody showed me a documentary on the 10 richest men in the Arab world. The 10 richest men. One of them is the king or the president, whatever you call it. Not the president. I think they call him a king of the United Arab Emirates. He's one of the richest men in the world. So this man was walking on the streets and all the people were playing with him, even children talking to him. So he was asked by the person coordinating the documentary, why, you know, security patrol? He said, no, he's not afraid of anybody here. This is AMLO. Safety, security. He's not afraid of anybody, nobody is afraid of him. So he's doing his own, they are doing their own. I don't know where that exists on the earth. A woman went in with the child and they were greeting him. He was greeting them too. He was driving the jeep made for the Iraqi war. What is it called? Homer. They were shaking him. He was greeting them too. They asked him, why, where are the sirens? And I said, no, he does not need that here. Because there is food, there is safety, security. So that there is security, there is safety, there is rest of mind. So when people eat and they are not afraid, what else do they want? Just look at these two things, food and rest of mind. No fear. You are not scared. There is everybody, even when people don't find houses, they will find houses. You know what I mean? When they don't find houses, they can't build a house, they can't rent a house, they will still find somewhere to just, let me just sleep and wake up, carry on life. And then there's food to eat, no problem. And I tell you, this is what the average Nigerian wants. The average Nigerian wants to be able to eat, then he wants to be able to rest, let me just have this. So these two things, when evil comes so much on the surface of the earth, Allah will draw them so that the people will suffer a little bit. Perhaps they may return to him. That's one of the blessings in things like this sometimes. In Rum, Allah says, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Allah says, ظهر الفساد, evil has spread on the surface of the earth and on the oceans. Really, evil got spread. Evil got spread. Muslims were killed. The greatest of it all is that Muslims killed Muslims. The Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, لا ترجعوا بعدي كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض. Don't turn to kuffar after I have gone, that a group of you will be taking the lives of the group, the other group amongst you. He was addressing the Muslims. Say, La tarji'u ba'di kuffara. Don't become kuffar after me. Don't become ingrates after me. It does not mean that to kill a Muslim is kufur. What it means is that it's so grievous that it is being considered as a major sin, because every sin that is referred to as kufur, even when it is not the kufur that takes a person out of Islam, is a major sin. It says, La tarji'u, after you have known Islam, don't go back to the days of kufur. يَضْرِبُ بَعْضُكُمْ رِقَابَ بَعْضُ, such that each of you, group of you Muslims, start cutting the heads, ضَرْبُ الرِّقَاب, cutting the heads of the other group amongst you. Whether the grouping is based on party affiliations or tribal affiliations, it says, don't do it. لَا تَرْجِعُوا بَعْضِي كُفَّار. Don't turn to kufar. Don't turn to people who commit major sins so close to kufur. And Allah ordered us. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. Do not take a life that Allah has honored. Allah honors human life so much. So much. It's one of the greatest things Allah swears with, the soul of man. He says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. He says, I swear with the soul. And I that have made it, I swear with myself. Nafs. And the Prophet warned us, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا من ثلاث. It is not permissible to take the life of a Muslim except from three angles. So it will be a fitna that people kill people, even non-Muslims. When you kill a non-Muslim, it must be bilhaq, the due process must be followed to kill a non-Muslim. Living in the Muslim lands, due process must be followed. So the same thing, when you want to kill a Muslim, due process must be followed. So when you don't follow due process, I don't know how people will ask or answer the question on the day of Qiyamah. Because you see, when a person kills the other person, there are two issues. The first issue is between the person who killed and Allah, who has the soul of the person that was killed. That's the first aspect of the problem. The second aspect of the problem is between the person who killed and the person who was killed. The person who killed and Allah could forgive him. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah does not forgive. Allah إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. He does not forgive that sins, association of partners is made with him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ. But what is lesser than associating partners with Allah? يَغْفِرُ. Yeah, Allah forgives it. لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. For whomever he wills. Whether that person sought for forgiveness or not, Allah can forgive him. So that is between that person and Allah. But what about between that person and the other person that was killed? You know, I said two aspects. So that one will be khusum on the day of Qiyamah. Allah, ask him what I did. What did I do that you killed me? And so his sins will fall upon the other person's head. The sin of the one who killed, the one who was killed will fall on the head of the one who killed. Allah reminded us about something like that. And that's why it's a very grievous thing to take the life of a person. Allah says, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ أَبْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah says, tell them about the story of the two children of Adam alayhi salam. إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا. The two of them made acts of penitence, sacrifices. فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا. It was accepted from one of them. وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلُ مِنَ الْآخَرِ. But it was not to be accepted from the second person. قَالَ الْأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. He said to his brother, I will kill you. The other one says, Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّكِينَ. Allah only accepts what somebody does for him sincerely. If you want to perform salah, perform it sincerely. That is the salah that Allah will accept. If you want to perform zakah sincerely. That is the zakah that Allah will accept. And in line with the sunnah of the messenger, alayhi salam. The same way, if you want to do jihad sincerely, one. Two, in the manner that you are taught to make jihad in Islam. If one of these two is missing, it is not the taqwa. So that Allah says, innama, the only one that will be accepted is the one that has come from who? Min al-muttaqin. From those who did it purely for Allah and in line with the dictates of Allah and His Messenger. So his brother said to him, la'in basatta ilayya yadaka litaqtulani ma ana bi basitin yadiya ilayk li'aqtulaka. Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alamin. He says, if you stretch your hand to kill me, I will not stretch my own hand to kill you in revenge because I fear Allah. Inni uridu an tabu'a bi ismi wa ismika fatakuna min ashabin nar. I want you to carry the responsibilities, my sins and your own sins, so that you will enter fire. Wa dhalika jaza'u dhalimin. And that is the reward of wrongdoers. Allah says, فَطَوَّعَتْ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ فَقَتَلَهُ. His mind, طَوَّعَتْ, like اِكْتِبَاءُ الْهَوَى. His mind was encouraging him, طَوَّعَتْ. His mind was encouraging, طَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ. His mind was encouraging him, kill your brother, kill your brother, kill your brother. فَقَتَلَهُ. So he killed him. فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. He became from amongst the losers. The verse goes on. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ قَالَ يَا وَيْلَتَا أَعَجَزْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِثْلَ هَذَا الْغُرَابِ فَأُوَارِيَ سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. He regretted in the end because he didn't even know when he finished killing his brother. He didn't know what to do with him. And that's why many people kill it. They don't know what to do with them. So they start cutting them to pieces that Allah has prohibited. It was a very, very pathetic situation. So it's a fitna that people kill non-Muslims without due cause. And it's also a great thing that Muslims kill Muslims. It's a worse thing when a Muslim takes. And that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, He says, Sayati ala nasi zaman. Hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. A time shall come on the people that there will be a lot of qatl, al-haraj, a lot of people killing. He says, فَلَا يَدْرِي الْقَاتِلُ لِمَا قَتَلَ. The one who killed will not know why he killed the person that he killed. Don't know, I just kill him. وَالْمَقْتُولُ لِمَا قُتِلَ. The one who was killed will not also know what he did for which he was killed. How many people knew what they did that made them to kill them? And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ. He says, the one who killed and the one who was killed in the fire. You see, there is going to be a lot of trouble. Yes, he was asked about, yes, the one who killed, we knew his sin is that he killed somebody. What about the one who was killed? He said, oh, because he was also attempting to kill the other person. Okay. So we know that al-qatil wal-maktul finar, regarding those two people who engaged themselves. This one is engaging the other, and the other one is engaging this one. And that's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that fitna shall come unto people, in the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, alayhi salatu wasalam, radiyallahu anhu. He said, al-qa'idu fiha khayru min al-qa'imi fiha. The one who is sitting down in that fitna is better than the one who is standing up. وَالْقَائِمُ فِيهَا خَيْرُ مِنَ الْمَاشِ فِيهَا. The one who is standing is better than the one walking in it. He says, وَالْمَاشِ فِيهَا خَيْرُ مِنَ السَّعِي فِيهَا. The one who is walking is better than the one who is running inside the fitna. The one who is sitting down is better than the one standing. The one standing is better than the one walking. The one walking is better than the one running. From the one who is making sa'y in it is the one who is engaging the other person. If he's engaging, even if he is killed, he says, Al-Qatlu wal-Maktulu finna. Because he was also attempting to kill. If that person had not killed him, he would have killed the other person. He says, Al-Qatlu wal-Maktulu finna. So you see, it was a difficult situation that people are in, or were in, if it had gone completely. It was a very difficult situation. That's why it was called a fitna. The best things to do in the times of fitna are two things, very, very important. Or three, or four, or five, or six. From them is luzumul bayt, staying in one's house. Stay in your house, sit down in your house. Don't go anywhere. Don't forget that he said the one who is sitting down is better than the one standing. The one standing is better than the one walking. The one walking is better than the one running. So the one sitting down in his house is better than the one standing outside his house, waiting. Waiting to become a side, a partaker. Cool? So it's a very difficult situation that people are in. So the first thing somebody should do is to sit down in his house. He says, وَلِيَسَعَكَ بَيْتُكَ. Let your house contain you. إِلْزَمْ بَيْتَكَ. كُنْ أَحْلَاسَ بُيُوتِكُمْ. Be those who hold firmly. Tie your buttocks to your house. The second thing is حِفْظُ اللِّسَانِ. Holding your tongue. Because there will be a lot of things people will be saying, majority of which will be lies. So what will happen is that unknowingly you become a liar too. يَجْرِي عَلَىٰ لِسَانِكَ الْكَذِبِ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَقْصُدُ الْكَذِبِ. You will be lying even when you have not intended to lie. That's one of the disadvantages. And he says, عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ, that كَفَى لِلْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا and you hadith of kulli ma sami'a. It suffices for a man to be a liar, or as a liar, than that he says everything that he hears. So one will be lying, he will not know. Because most of those things too will be lies. I know two things I read from people's comments on the net, and they were lies. Two big ones, two big lies. See these two things. What do you think it will do to a Muslim? It will incite him to say, see now, these people. You see, But they were alive. They were alive. So when you mind your tongue, you hear it say to Allahul Musta'an. The day the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told Uthman bin Affan about the fitna that he will get into, that was what he said. Allahul Musta'an. That he'll be killed in the fitna. فَإِذَنْ لَهُ وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ عَلَى مَا يُصِيبُهُ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ. Allow him to call in and tell him that he will enter the Jannah, but it will be fitna. He heard, he dropped his head, he said, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ. He didn't go and start rushing and start shouting, hey, you see me? Then go kill me for fitna. La. Uthman bin Affan. Radiyallahu anhu. So at the times of fitna, from the greatest things to do is hold your tongue. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, man somata naja. Imam al-Tirmidhi reported that. Man somata naja. The one who remains silent is safe. He didn't cuckoo say anything. So what will they say that he said? But people be talking, carrying information that they are not sure of, that they didn't hear, that they didn't see. They only just hear that it's happening. Carrying. So it's good to hold one's tongue in addition to staying in one's house. The other one is sticking to ibadat in the times of it. Ibadah. So when people be shouting, then they come, then they come, you saying, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. Such that even if it ends at that time, he is going to end up on khair. Because it will still end, whether then or not, at another time. So, how many people ran and ran into the fitan itself? Yes, that has its own word. Let me quickly go to that. Running away from fitna. It's from aspects of iman. The Imam al-Bukhari in Sahih al-Bukhari made a tadweeb, saying that al-firar min al-fitnah min al-iman, running away from fitna is from part of iman. And he brought a very wonderful hadith. Imam al-Nawawi did the same thing, rahimahullah. The evidence he gave is the hadith of Ya'juj and Ma'juj with Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, that after Dajjal will be killed, Allah will release Ya'juj and Ma'juj, cool? And they will come out in their large numbers. Then Nabi Isa will be preparing to fight them. Allah will say to him, these people, you can't fight them, run away. You and those people with you should run away. So they will run away. They will run away to preserve their iman. So then they say, that's why he said, it means running away from fitna is a way of preserving iman. Then what will Allah do? Allah will send down a disease upon their necks that will kill them all. It means also that it is Allah that takes away fitna, because He is the one that brings it to test people, to punish them, to for many reasons, He will take it away again. So He brings it and takes it away. So the ibadah of the person in the condition of fitna, how valuable do you think it will be? When people are running and asking, He is begging the one who brought it to him. At least me, I know they will. My hand, no deal. My leg, no deal. Some people, their hands, no deal, but their leg, they. Some people, their leg, no deal, but yeah. So we must be sure that our hands and our legs, no deal. Must avoid fitna as much as possible. It does not bring khair. A brother was telling me 2 days ago that many durus stopped. I said that is one of the punishments. Durus, learning stops. So if people hearing good things stop, what are they doing on the surface of that? Is it not punishment? When learning stops, who was teaching? Nobody was teaching. Everybody stopped his durus, stay in his house. How? That is one of the punishments. The only thing people see is hunger and death. The other aspect is that khair stops. Because this is khair. People hear something, Allah and His Messenger, it's khair. Brother, it's khair. A brother called me once from Finland. He told me that the whole city where he's living, he said there's no masjid there. The masjid is his room, his house. So that you can converge in the masjid is fadlu min rabbik, the fadlu from Allah. And then somebody is saying, Allah says, Prophet says, Babu maja fi libasi Rasul. It's khayru. When did you hear Rasul last? Alayhi salatu wasalam. It's long ago, some weeks ago. And there are a lot of durus people attend. All those stopped. Some people, their salat even stopped. In the masajid, salatul subhi, I was told, stopped. Salatul isha, stopped. So what is the benefit of the fitna? So it's good that there is no fitna. Because even learned people in fitna, they are also tried. Don't talk about the people who are not learned. People who are learned also come into trials when they're fitna. I'm going to relate the hadith of Amr ibn al-As, and the house will start with it, inshallah. Amr ibn al-As is one of the most beloved companions of the Prophet Muhammad. This hadith is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Amr ibn al-As, before he accepted Islam, he hated the Prophet Muhammad. He used to say the worst thing he ever saw was the Prophet Muhammad. He hated him. And he said he has always intended to kill the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So, and whenever he saw that the Prophet sent a message to a king somewhere, he would go there and speak against the Muslims so that those people didn't accept the message of Islam. Amr ibn al-As, the father of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhumah. The father and the son have in between them only 9 years. Yes, Amr ibn al-As and his son Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, 9 years. So the Prophet used to drag the ears of Abdullah and say, Iktabi abaka wa la tukhalifu. Follow your father. Don't go against him. And he came into Islam long before his father, Amr ibn al-As. He was a tough person, radiallahu anhu, Amr. The day he wanted to accept Islam, Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned that in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He came to the Prophet, I want to accept Islam. But say, mashallah, stretch his hand. Say, remove his hand. Say, why are you drawing back your hand? You don't want to accept Islam. Say, I will accept but one condition. Say, what is the condition? Say, that I be forgiven all what I have done before. If you assure me that I will be forgiven, I will accept Islam. The Prophet said to him, Allah tadri an al-Islam yajubu ma qablahu. Do you not know that Islam cancels all the sins before it? That as you accept Islam, all the sins before, al-Islam yajubu ma qablahu, the Islam cancels it for you. So he accepted Islam. Few days after, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him the leader of a jaysh, the leader of an army, because the Prophet loved him so much. He was imbued. He could speak and negotiate. Amr ibn al-As. And he had the ability to control people. So he was a virtue, he was an asset for the Dawah of Islam. So he made him to lead an army group that had companions that had accepted Islam years before him. So the Prophet drew him very close, alayhi salatu wasalam, so much that he thought that he is the most beloved person to the Prophet Muhammad. So that was why one day he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Muhammad, Ya Rasulallah, man ahabbu nas ilayk? Who is the most beloved of people to you? He thought the Prophet say you now. You understand what I mean? Like saying Prophet, now who you like past? It's like he thought that, he likes me. To make me leader of people to go for a bath. I must be the one that he likes more than everybody. So he came, man ahabbu nas ilayk. The Prophet said, Aisha. As if he didn't understand my question. He says, min al-rijal, men. I'm talking about the men, not women, men. He says, Abuha, her father. Yes, Abu Bakr. Because he thought that he is the closest person to the Prophet Muhammad. This hadith, it's also in Sahih Muslim. So that was how Amr ibn al-As was in Islam. But when the fitna came amongst the companions, the trial, a lot of Muslims died. Over 90,000 Muslims died in one single battle. That's what was 15. 90,000 Muslims died in one single battle between two Muslim groups. This is a great fitna, and it's one of the signs of the last hour. That battle. That's what was 15. Between the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So the real trial. I know it's still a trial field today, because many people go start speaking evil about the companions from that trial. So it's a trial for them too. Do you understand what I mean? People begin to speak evil about the companions as a result of that battle, and they are misled. One of them was Ahmad Gumi. He used to abuse the companions as a result of this. He said they too were fighting to be leaders. And so democracy is better than Khilafah. Yeah, he said it long ago. I've always repeated this. And he's not repentant too. That's why recently a brother was telling him, one of our brothers here was telling him, look, this is a democracy. He said that it's better than the 30 years of the rule of Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, and Ali. This is a democracy. He said that it's better. Jonathan and all those people. And the brother said that to him. So when that fitna came amongst the companions, many people died. So on the part of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, when there was to be negotiation, peace talks, the person who was representing the group was Amr ibn al-As. And on the side of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the person who was representing the group was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And they negotiated. The rest is history. The point here was, Amr ibn al-As, when he was on the deathbed, he now said, before I came into Islam, if I was told that I would enter the fire, I would say yes, because of my hatred for the Prophet Muhammad. After I became a Muslim, if I was told during the time of the Prophet that I would enter al-Jannah, I would say yes, because I knew that I loved the Prophet and I knew that he loved me. He said, but when the fitna started, we made statements and we made actions. So if I'm told now that it is Al-Jannah, I'm not sure. I don't know. Because a lot of things are involved. It's not as clear as before the Prophet died. So, and all the years before the fitna started. Now the fitna, people have done something, people have said something. We don't know how it will be. Bain al-Khafi wa al-Raja. So this makes us understand, if a man lives with the Prophet and all of what Amr ibn al-As did, and yet, because he was involved in what happened at that time, he's saying, I don't know how it will be. Yes, for them it is al-Jannah. All those things, Allah will forgive them. Allah will forgive them all those things, because they have good deeds that will overweigh those mistakes some of them made. Rabbi Allah anham. The companions have good deeds that are so great that will overweigh whatever would have come from them that's a mistake. Whatever. One of the scholars who discussed this was saying to me that the nearest example is, because we live in Nigeria, we can make the example, Bode George. He was said to have misappropriated about 70 billion. Who? Yes, about that. And he went into prison for that. He got convicted for that and was released. The fact is that he still had the 70 billion, even if he got that illegitimately. So you can't compare him with a Nigerian that didn't get convicted. So if a companion has a mistake with Allah, like the one who was said in the hadith that after a battle he took a rope, a call from the ganima before it was distributed, the Prophet said, "Who are finnar?" How many people have collected things, they are saying it's Ghanima today. Who distributed it, the Ghanima? If it is Ghanima, who distributed it? It is the person who called out jihad that will distribute Ghanima. And that was why you don't go for a jihad except there's an Amir, valid, who will invite the people to jihad. That's why he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa idha stumfirtum fanfiru. Wa idha, if you were or if you are called out, who will call you out? Your Amir. And that's why he's the one that will also distribute the Ghanima. I was told that some of the people stopped a truck of containing alcohol. Okay, Kagansi. One of his aunties said that it happened in front of her house. So they stopped the car on the vehicle, the lorry of alcohol. They drank alcohol. We are shouting Allahu Akbar and burnt the car after drinking that. The lorry. Jihad. Allahu Akbar, drinking alcohol. Yeah. It's because they're sick now. You know, things go upside down. So everybody must be careful what he says, what he does, what role he plays. You must not have a hand nor a mouth in it. Must. You must not have a hand or a mouth or a leg in it. May Allah save us from fitnah. That which is apparent and that which is not apparent. And forgive us our mistakes. It was really a terrible time for people. Up till now, people are still feeling it. And unfortunately, those kuffar killed a lot of Muslims. I was reading a report on Daily Trust yesterday. There was a video footage. It was really bad. Killed a lot of Muslims. They were describing the women, the people who are, you know, staying at the Hajj camp at on the road to Gwinengwari at Mandu. They said 98% of the people there are women. And those people gave their account that when those kuffar came, they were not killing the women. They were only killing the men. Boys and men. Husbands, fathers, brothers were the people there. They were now left the women. In fact, some men became saved from Allah's rahmah and from the fact that they dressed like women. So all those women, what will happen? Where will they be and all? Who will marry them? Who will be their awliya? So we beg Allah's protection from fitna. Nobody gains from it. So when the companion was said that he is going to get into the fire, the ulama said yes. The Prophet said it's huwa finnar. Huwa finnar, no ta'wi. It has no explanation than that. It is hell. But the issue is, when Allah forgives him and he comes out, not like any other person who is not a companion, because he is a companion. Many others amongst the Muslims are not like them, no matter their level of their height. All the Muslims, any person is a companion, is the best human being you can find apart from the Anbiya. Yes, they all have levels. The companions have levels. Not every companion was on the same level. So my dear brothers, these are just thoughts that were coming to the mind during the period that people are still scared. The market, people are still being careful, looking at one another. And that's why we have been saying it. This democracy, there is no khair in it. La khaira fiha. La khaira fiha. La khaira fiha, except we are deceiving her. La khaira fiha, it does not have khair. Where in the world is the vote count? Where in the world? In America. Were they not rigging elections there? There are documentaries on how Obama himself rigged the elections to become the American president. Go to the net, you see them there. Documents. Yeah, they've been government of the people. Which people? The power brokers or who? Which government of the people? So we beg Allah to save us from it. grant us safety. Forgive us our mistakes. We'd like to stop here, inshallah, hoping that by next week, the minds of people will have returned fully to their activities, and then we can read on our book, inshallah. I would have wished to take one or two questions. Okay. Lol. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
Hello. Now Abu Rahman. Okay. I won't answer the question as you think. I will just refer you back to all those ahadiths I have been quoting. So you know that you'll be a sa'i in it when you come out and carry your own weapons. So you'll be attempting to kill and you may be killed. And he has given the judgment about the two of them. So the choice is here. That's why it's a fitna. There is no position that is an easy one. You hear me, Ikhwan? It's a fitna such that there is no position that is an easy one. There is no condition that's easy. All the conditions are difficult. It's just telling you which one is better for you. So you are the one who will stay there or leave. You take your own position that Allah will put you and you face the consequences. It's a very difficult thing. That's why it's fitna. Yeah, so it's a fitna. It's real trouble, real problem. People will be, they won't even know what to do. So I don't have a comment on that other than that. Just review what we had said. You find an answer in it, inshallah. Allah Abdul Rahman. Alaykum as-salam. If a thief comes to you, yes. Or a Khariji. You know the Khawarij? The sect who declared Muslims kuffar because of major sins. We discussed all of these long ago. Those are the people who you defend yourself. In the time of fitna, laugh. Refer you back to all of what we had said. He says, Al-Qatilu wal-Maktulu finnar. The one who attempts to kill and the one who was killed, the two of them is in the fire. He says, إِذَا التَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا. What did he say? فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ. If two Muslims confront themselves with a sword, the two of them is in the fire. It's a jihad valid. There is no problem. In fact, those who stay behind will be the ones who will be blaming. How you stay behind? Come out for jihad. It's a difficult situation. Yeah, last year was from Alaykum
as-salam. I spoke with someone who told me that while were you people trying to attack both Muslims and Christians, he said, I everybody that lives in Kabbalah is a Christian. So in that case,
that person is a scholar.
No.
Why are you taking to his statement? Because this your question will be based on that assertion, which is wrong and idiotic. How do you say because people are? I'm not referring to you. I'm not even referring to him. I'm referring to the statement. The statement is idiotic. It's not well thought out. How do you see a group of people, At-Takfir bin Jumla? Who gave him that? At-Takfir bin Jumla, say, oh, every person living in social place, Kufa, every person living in Kapuri, Kafir. You laughed because you are living in Kapuri. But you want to accept the verdict of the person in Rigasa that every person living in Kabbalah West is Kafir.
No, I'm not accepting.
Even in Nasarawa here, across us, today I was very surprised. A brother grown up with beer is living there. And the people in our area, we are thinking that the people in Nasarawa want to come and attack them and all that. The brother is there, now where are we there? We are living there. He said he was sleeping in his house like this. Today I was telling him. He even dropped, he even passed near one of the churches. I was looking at him, I saw this to start. He went there saying, we don't have any problem here, sleeping. So if you now say all the people living in Nasarawa are Christians, you want to go and attack them, you know you'll be making a lot of mistakes. It's a real problem. Okay, what about the areas where we are sure that there are Muslims throughout? Like maybe in Tudunwada and Tudunupawa, where Muslims were openly attacking the Muslims. That one, there is no shubha there. What about that? That one is jihad too? Nah. So if you have accepted with us that you can't generally make a blanket statement, even if you are going to make a blanket statement that there are Christians there, aha. But to say, unfortunately, even in that regard, is it not the Muslims and the non-Muslims that want to go and fight them? Huh? The Muslims and the non-Muslims in Rigasa. Naria. See, brothers, we really need to be making a lot of tawbah and istighfar. Because all of these things that are happening, it's sufficient for Allah to be annoyed with a group of people. I tell you, since this rain started, I've been seeing these things that are happening, it's sufficient that Allah is annoyed with a lot of people. Many innocent people lost their lives. Innocent people. Many. You didn't know anything. Many innocent Muslims and non-Muslims, many innocent Muslims, many innocent non-Muslims were killed. It's not sufficient that Allah is annoyed with people who take lives that Allah likes, Allah honors. This life, human life. All of us, because the rest of us too, we beg Allah safety. You know, he says, "Taku fitnatani, la tusibanna alladhina zalamu minkum khawf." So that the fear of some of us is based on things like this. May Allah preserve us. Fitna. People now turn killing people to eating biscuits. Oh, Allah hates it. When the malaika were talking about Bani Adam, the first time when our creation was to be made, what did they say? Huh? Safkudima. This is what we are seeing it now on the ground. Safkudima. Safkudima. Wa nahnu nusabbihu bihamdika wa nuqaddisu lak. That's why when those people start their own Safkudima, anta make takdis. You should make be praising Allah and begging him, Allah, don't join in making the Safkudima. Allah hates it. It's one of the things with which Allah hated Fir'aun. He was killing people. يُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They were killing their children. They oppressed people. A lot of people were oppressed. And when people are oppressed, somebody asked one of the scholars that when Allah said, we beg Allah his safety from his punishment. Now when Allah said, subhanAllah, when the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the dua of the oppressed, laysa baynahu wa bayna Allah وبين ربه حجاب. It does not have any screen between it and Allah. They say, what about if it were a kafir, if it were a non-Muslim that was oppressed? Is it still the same? Say yes, it's the same ruling. Because the non-Muslim could be the Muslim. The non-Muslim could be the unfairly treated one. If you have treated him unfairly, beg Allah. Alayka bihi, he will hold you responsible. So, it's not a good thing at all. Unfortunately, most of those people, Yarhamukallah, most of those people who are encouraging people to go out now, they are now denying that Baha no Muashi. So we beg Allah to save us from people. May we never be part of it. And may we never share from its consequences. It was a terrible thing. So everybody in Rigasa wanted to go to Kapuri.
My exact question was like, why they
were coming? Why who was coming?
Why people were coming from Rigasa?
Who are those people? Mujahideen.
Why they were coming to Kabbalah? The Muslims living in Kabbalah. People want them to come out. When I was in 2000, I was writing my wife there in Kabbalah. So they called us, even we are resource with you. The Christians there, they called us, and we should assist them to go and defend people going from Kabbalah. So why, so a woman out there, that is not allowed to let people from Kabbalah. So why, the Muslims, usually call their neighbors to come out. And if they
find
that you
do
not come out,
they
will set an eye on you, something like that.
So that you should now become what? They want you to become what? Kamathal is shaitan. Is qala lil insan ikfur. Falamma kafara. Qala inni bari'un minka. إني أخاف الله رب العالمين فكان عاقبتهما الشيطان والمدعو أنهما في النار. So if the man in Kabbalah who is a Christian is inviting you to come and be a partaker, a sa'i in it, with your hand and your leg, and you have been warned that don't be a partaker in it, and you follow him, then it's dangerous. You may now ask, which one is more preferable? To remain or to go? I tell you, to remain is more preferable. I tell you. And in this, to say to remain is better, is the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad. He says, "Kun ahadu abnei Adam." Be one of the two children of Adam. That is, be the one that was killed. Don't be the one that killed. It's better for you that you are in your house, they come and meet you there, Allah sama Allah, than that you are going out and you are met on the road. Do you understand? It's better for you that you are in your house, somebody come and meet you, Allah sama Allah. It's better than that you are now going to attack people amongst Muslims and all that, and you either kill somebody or something happens to you. Which one is better? Eh? May Allah never make you witness it. As you can say that it's better, it's not an easy option. Brothers, it's not an easy option. It's not an easy option. May Allah save us from fitna. نسأل الله المعافاة في الدنيا والآخرة. The last question. The Prophet told us that long ago. Somebody should come and start telling us that now. The Prophet told us not to live among Mushrikun alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said that one who is living among Mushrikun, whatever his eyes sees there, he should blame himself. So if you are living in Kakuri or in Kaku, anything, Allah wa'ala. But it is more than that. The condition in which we are is more than that. Because even the Muslims who are living amongst Muslims were attacked. Even the Muslims who are living among Muslims were attacked. Even Muslims who are living among Muslims for the same tribe were attacked. So it was a blind something. It was not a good way of... Then you see, you'll be wondering, what is the verdict? What is the... This is the foundation rule, the guiding principle in all of this. No guiding principle. Except Hawa and Shaitan. Ya Allah, save us from it. Stop there, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.